Rachel Levy, and we're going to engage in some very good conversations. And so before we turn to our first guest, I now want to turn to my partner, my feature reporter and friend, Virginia Spatz. Good morning, Virginia, and take it away.
Good morning, Thomas. Thanks. The Black Panther Party for Self-Defense has been a popular topic this week. Over 100 million viewers saw the Super Bowl's halftime performance featuring dancers costumed to evoke the party. And many more have seen news or commentary mentioning the Black Panthers since then. So this seems a good week to look briefly at the party's education program. Education appears twice in the 10-point program of the Black Panther Party, founded in 1966. Education, along with land, bread, housing, clothing, justice, and peace, is listed as a party want and a matter for self-determination. A separate point states, "We want education for our people that exposes the true nature of this decadent American society. We want education that teaches us our true history and our role in the present-day society." As the party evolved, first in Oakland, California, and then in other cities, education for children and adults was central. One of the most famous Black Panther efforts was a free breakfast program predating federally funded school meals. In addition to lessons during meals, liberation schools offered after-school and summer programming designed to guide youth in their search for revolutionary truth. In the Black Child's Pledge, children promised, "I will learn all that I can in order to give my best to my people in their struggle for liberation. I will unselfishly share my knowledge and understanding with them in order to bring about change more quickly. I will discipline myself to direct my energies thoughtfully and constructively rather than wasting them in idle hatred." The Oakland Community School, a full-time Liberation Day school, was designed and operated as a model for the Black Panther education vision. The art program, for example, focused on how history and politics have shaped the thinking of artists and how art has shaped the thinking of people. Erica Huggins, who directed Oakland Community School for 8 years, describes the school's vision to help children use their education as a stepping stone to become world changers, to appreciate every child for their innate wisdom and unique talents, to use the world as a classroom, and to teach children how, not what, to think. Elaine Brown, who led the party from 1974 to 77, points out that education programs were included among the survival programs of the Black Panthers, an integral aspect of party philosophy. Huey Newton likened survival programs to a raft during a flood. Such emergency services, he said, do not change social conditions, but they are life-saving vehicles until conditions change. Party co-founder Bobby Seale stressed the difference between reform and revolution. A revolutionary program is one set forth by those who want to change the existing system to a better system. A reform program is set up by the existing exploitative system as an appeasing handout to fool the people and keep them quiet. This revolutionary core of Black Panther work is too often overlooked or misunderstood in the retelling, according to Brown. Stanley Nelson's documentary, The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, fails in this way, she argues. And as it happens, this film is scheduled to air on PBS February 16th, less than 10 days after the Super Bowl performance drew so much attention to its subject. Brown so strongly objected to Nelson's film that she tried to have her interview removed from it. You can see her remarks, as well as links to the film and additional perspectives, on our website, educationtownhall.org, later today. In closing, the Super Bowl performance, with its chorus of female dancers, provides a useful visual. For 50 years, armed men served as the quintessential image of the Black Panthers, with Angela Davis maybe somewhere off to the side. The group was originally all male and continued to struggle around gender issues, it's true. However, as historian Claiborne Carson says in Nelson's documentary, the movement included more than a handful of famous women. By the end of the 1960s, women comprised the majority of rank-and-file Black Panthers, he says. And Sunday's chorus of women dancing with Beyoncé may help shift the predominantly masculine image of the movement. And perhaps, in the long run, the lyrics to which they're dancing will prompt some useful discussion about that decadent American society and how the Black Panthers hoped education would expose it. This is Virginia Spatz reporting for the Education Town Hall on WEACT Radio, powered by Ethical Electric.
Thank you so much, Virginia, for that feature report. And I must say, I must be the dullest knife in the drawer because I watched that, although it was loud where I was watching the Super Bowl. But, you know, I did not see any political messages or statements. You know, I just saw art. And
it was just the clothes. I mean, we could go on
and on. Yeah, but art, you know, it was art, and people interpret art in different ways.